The Bachelor Institute is hosting the second edition of SPIRIT. SPIRIT stands for Supporting Play and Intergenerational Relationships with Indigenous Tradition. Funded by Toymaker Lego and led by key academic institutions from the United States, Canada, and New Zealand, including the Bachelor Institute in Australia, the global gathering is bringing together 100 First Nations people from partner organizations in the said countries to share the successes and challenges of the International SPIRIT Project as it enters year two. And I'm glad to say we're joined on NITV Radio by two key players in the SPIRIT Project event taking place at Bachelor Institute. Before we delve into our conversation, I'll let our guests introduce themselves to our listeners.
My name's Catherine Gilby. I work at Bachelor Institute. I head up the Higher Education and Research Division at Bachelor. And I'll just quickly hand over to Marie, who can introduce herself.
Hello, my name's Marie Elena Ellis.
And Marie's a project worker on the Global Partner Gathering. I'm an Aoyawada woman from Sandover Way, northeast of Alice Springs. Marie's Aranda and Walpuri. We're really pleased, so happy to be part of this project, this global project. So we're partnering with John Hopkins University, the Centre for Indigenous Health, the University of Otago in New Zealand, and the First Nations Health Authority in British Columbia in Canada. And Bachelor Institute is the Australian representative on this global partner initiative.
Yeah, it's a global initiative that supports play and intergenerational relationships with Indigenous tradition. Really, really a powerful theme and topic to be working on. Tell us more about it and how it all came about. How did it all start?
So it's a global Indigenous-led initiative. When Lego the Toy turned 90 about 2 years ago, the Lego Foundation partnered with the Lever for Change Foundation, and they sent out a global call across the world. Send us your projects that wouldn't otherwise be funded. Send us your projects that, you know, can create a world of play for children that can affect real change in the world. John Hopkins has a program that's called Family Spirit that began in the Navajo Nation and is rolled out across the US now in 20 different sites. Our application at its core was to roll out Family Spirit program across the world, so in Canada, New Zealand and Australia. So it's a 0-6 child and maternal health program that is Indigenous run, led, all of the knowledges that form this curriculum have come from community. It's a home visiting based program.
Yeah.
We're in the process of adapting it to our culture, our underculture. Marie is the adaptations person. But also there's a second part of this project, which is to create play spaces that support intergenerational knowledge sharing. So we're literally going to build playgrounds that are deeply informed from the local culture, but they're nature-based play spaces that will encourage grandmothers to come and cook while their children play, while the young people can play chess. We're going to create play spaces that don't exist otherwise without this project. It's just joyous. Can I also say one thing? I'll say one thing from the outset.
Yeah.
I am a completely satisfied person at this minute. We're halfway through this week. This is the second global partner gathering. The first one was in New Mexico.
Yeah.
We started in Albuquerque and we traveled down to the Santa Ana Pueblo and then we went up to the Navajo Nation. I knew then, I said, Australia will be second. And now we've got 70 people from First Nations people from across the globe here in Mbantua, in Alice Springs. I couldn't be prouder of my community. I couldn't be prouder of my community of practice in terms of this partnership that we have. We work so well together, and Alice Springs has just showed up to welcome these people in, you know, the most beautiful of ways. So we had an excursion yesterday where we went out to Ormiston Gorge, which is just stunning country. And then we went on to the traditional runners block next door. and everyone got some clapsticks or a kudra or a, and so then we had this moment as we were eating dinner out in the bush of the Canadians singing one of their songs with the Australian clapsticks, of the Maori young fellas doing a dance with the Australian kudra. This is how, this is the some of the strengths that come out of this project. And it's not government money, which means that we can actually affect real change in our communities in ways that none of us can even see. The thing about Lego as a toy is those blocks, 9 of them in your hand, there are infinite possibilities that can be created from that. And this project is very much like the toy itself. There are infinite possibilities that can be created when First Nations people are like leading the, you know, we're driving the vehicle.
Yeah. The project allows to work with elders, as you mentioned. It focuses on the faster, the from 0 to 6 years, which are the most important, years in the formative period mm-hmm. of the young children. And it also involves the elders, the knowledge keepers, and they're transmitting it to the young kids at a very young age. Bachelor is specialized in both ways learning. Tell us a bit more how this was developed and how it's taking, is shaping up.
There's nothing new in knowledge transmission from across generations in Aboriginal society. But there's been a massive disruption to that called colonialism. So we have the oldest education system in the world and the most effective system in the world because it's the oldest. What we're doing is going back to the old ways, getting, in fact, as part of the adaptation process, Marie's developed this, it's called grandmother's law. So, well, you know, John Hopkins is calling like the Child and Maternal Health Family Spirit Program. Will be adapted to be, okay, so this is how grandmothers have always taught their daughters and their granddaughters and their great-granddaughters, but we're just providing a vehicle for that to happen again properly, like in the old ways, and we're providing spaces for that to happen properly,
yeah.
like in the old ways. And so what this project means is that there's been so much investment in language loss, in language being removed, in people being removed from country. This is an opportunity to go back and say, okay, now we can resource a process that is about grandmothers sitting down with their grandchildren, going hunting, you know, sitting down cooking. We want to yeah. create a family space. We want to create a centre. In Alice Springs, that will be a family drop-in centre where the program will be run, but it will be a really family-based space so that it's not clinical. Part of the problem is, you know, these health programs, when they run out of clinics, is that they are clinical models. This is an old ways model.
Marie, you also play a key role in this spirit program as a project coordinator. Tell us about your work in the project. Starting from how you got involved in the program.
I was one of the person that was picked to go to our first trip to from Sydney to America for the Lego Foundation Family Spirit Program gathering. For me, it was really interesting because the Maternal Health and Child Family Spirit Program was the package that I saw that they use was similar to the one that I used to work with Conquerors, Central Australian, anyway. I was so familiar with the Maternal Health and Child Program that I put my hand up. I started working on it. So I volunteered and yeah, I am in the process of working on the adaptation to put in a lot of the Aranda pedagogy into each and every program that's going to be in it for
for play.
It is said that the program was launched in response to a global early childhood emergency exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, because we know during the pandemic when people were in lockdown and everything was at a standstill, the impact of the response to the pandemic was really devastating for children, couldn't interact with their communities properly. Tell us how this has really helped the children overcome, those who've come through this program, how it helps them overcome the effects of the lockdowns and catch up with the rest of the communities and other children.
These kinds of projects are years in the making.
Yeah.
So we'd sort of started it before the pandemic, and as the pandemic was kind of hitting, it, you know, it rolled out across the world and everything changed just a little bit. But the crisis in our communities, in terms of child removal, the crisis in our communities, in terms of our interaction with systems that don't necessarily like us very much, that existed before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we, this project really is aimed at providing just an opportunity to sit outside of the real Western mainstream for a second and go back to the old, like I was saying. So the pandemic changed everything in the whole world. We all saw that in real time with our own eyes.
Yeah, no, it's just a devastating effect.
Oh, yeah. And it hit Indigenous communities in the US really hard. Less so here. We're in the Northern Territory. We shut down early and then and we opened early, and a lot of our communities just didn't even let people come in. There were, you know,
completely
the impact
isolated
in the Northern Territory wasn't as great as it has been in other places.
Yeah. The project has started in Pantui and Aranta area country. Is it going to be rolled out in other parts of Australia? Because it sounds like a very, very promising project and acclaimed worldwide. Is it going to be rolled out in other parts of Australia, and how is it going
to be? It sure
is.
Out? Yeah. So the global rollout, that this is a 5-year implementation plan that we're funded for.
Yeah.
So the global rollout is kind of happening now. So it will also, we'll have some play spaces in the top end of the Northern Territory. And we're also working a partner relationship with Northern New South Wales. Now, New South Wales has such a high rate of Aboriginal child removal that we consider it to be a crisis situation.
Some even call it a second wave of stolen generation.
Absolutely, it is a second wave of stolen generation. It's kidnapping. In any other society or culture, it's called kidnapping. The rate at which children are being put in out of home care. So certainly we're looking to work with, I can't really announce it yet, but work with, you know, probably the leading institution who's in this space in Sydney, and work on real policy change out of this project so that we can, if nothing else, just affect national and state and territory-based policy. Also, we're going to fund a program called the First, not fund, but support a program called the First 2,000 Days, because we all know that the first 2,000 days are the most important in early childhood development. So, yes, absolutely, we're going to roll it out nationally. We're going to start with territory, then move to Sydney, or New South Wales generally, regional New South Wales. Then, with the good fortune that has come to us already, I'm so grateful to be able to be a partner in this project. But we would like more good fortune to come away and to be able to roll it out nationally to give local communities all across the country the chance to share their own local land-based knowledge and create programs for intergenerational knowledge sharing. We would love nothing more than to be able to spread this all over the country and then all over the globe. Mm-hmm. We know it works. 20 years of database evidence is sitting with John Hopkins to say that this works.
And one very important component that we need maybe to focus on a little bit more as well is about preservation of language. The program has supported the Potawatomi Language Nest, and it helps preserve the languages, because First Nations languages are the ones that are disappearing at the highest rate globally.
In real time, my generation can sit and turn around and look at languages disappearing across this big country before our eyes. The Potawatomi Language Nest is modelled on the Maori Language Nest, which is one of the most successful. And in fact, we have, through this project, we have a very close relationship with them. To say it's a Southern Arundic language, which is critically endangered. There's a handful of fluent speakers left. Certainly, we recognise that language acquisition and preservation is key to intergenerational knowledge sharing.
Before I let you go, Catherine, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
The play spaces are just such a wonderful opportunity to really explore how knowledge and play informs learning. We're going to create some wonderful resources from across the four nations. You know, this is how we play. This is how we play. There's also such a similarity of context in terms of the colonialism, but there's a similarity of cultures as well. You know, when the language comes from the land and the culture comes from the environment and the land around. And so when you have like these really local land-based cultures working together, oh my goodness, we don't even know the possibilities of what could even come from the strength of a project that looks at four nations globally like we are doing.
And Marie, what would be your closing thoughts or message you'd like to share with our listeners?
Children learn by play, and by playing, they're exploring the environment surrounding them, and also enhances their ability to learn more.
Catherine Gilby and Marie Elena Ellis, thank you very much for taking the time to give us some insights into the Spirit Global Gathering taking place at Bachelor Institute Bantwe Campus this week. It's been a really great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.